kind of mentioned in his introduction that last song that I requested he not lead it, but I says I get requests all the time not to preach it. We're in this together, I think. Let me again bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here. Very, very much so. It's always good to get together. Appreciate your desire not only to enjoy friendship and fellowship with one another, but to your desire to assemble to give God worship and praise as a congregation. I need to give emphasis about this evening's assembly. We have Brother Steve Worley with us this morning. He had just a few minutes to make a presentation during our Bible class this morning, and was very, very well received. If you're thinking about not coming back tonight, just ask someone who was here during the Bible class lesson, what did he say and how enthusiastic was he, and I think you'll be convinced to come back. So you will not let a little anticipated weather discourage you from this time together tonight. I'm looking forward. He kind of gave a brief introduction of his life story, and he lived a long time to give a brief presentation, right? So, but very, very impressive. And you can sense the enthusiasm of the way he speaks. And if he's going to tell us about the work in Africa tonight, you just know you're going to be encouraged and uplifted by hearing that work. So please, let me just emphasize that again. And I can see my time going by. I may not take a walk through Ephesians. We may gallop through it in our lesson this morning. But just again, I do not want to slight Brother Worley being with us tonight. So I look forward to that. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. You're very welcome to follow along. So I'll kind of, as we say, give some highlights to this lesson this morning. And you can take the outline home, and please, you'll read that on your own, the verses that surround the verses that I've listed for you in the main points. But one theme that runs through this letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to the brethren is to walk. He says, now that you are Christians, this is what your living should look like. So by definition, if you're walking, it signifies a general course of life. But the course of conduct, an activity of life, is not just sitting or standing still. There's active involvement in Christian living. It involves doing. It involves eyes open with the attitude of how can I help you? What can I do for you? Do you need anything? No, let me get that. So as we walk, as we are going, eyes open. Let me help you. Number one, in this word walk, Paul reminds them of their walk before they became Christians. In verse 2, he reminds them in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. What kind of walk is that? What does that look like when we walk according to the course of this world? Well, from God's perspective, he gives us a definition in verse 1, the verse preceding that phrase. From God's perspective, he says, when you walk according to the course of the world, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Meaning you were not spiritually alive. You were not living a Christian life. You were not walking in the course of godliness. So he says, this is what it looked like before. You walked according to the course of this world. Meaning, again, you were focused only about the success of this life and not eternal life. Your focus was on earthly things. He gives an added definition in verse 3. What does this course of the world walk look like? He says you were filled with the desires of the flesh and of the mind. about what we're going to do tonight or tomorrow. How about the weekend or the holidays? You're walking according to the course of this world. Now just think about people you know that are not spiritually minded. Think about what's on their mind. All the entertainment. What can this world provide for me? Paul says that's the way you and I walked before we became Christians, and we were spiritually dead, alive physically. So he says in verse 3, among whom also we all, everybody, had our conversation or our walk in time past. All of sin is falling short of God's glory. Paul says in Romans 3, verse 23. And it seems interesting that until people are convinced that an earthly life really is being dead in trespasses and sin, they will not make a move to come to Christ. Our preaching, our life as Christians, in one part is designed to move people to become Christ-like. And they're not going to be moved to become Christ-like until they picture or get God's perspective. You know how I look to God? In trespasses and sins, and that has eternal consequences. We need to move people with information of the gospel message. So Paul reminds them of that, but look at the other side too, the convincing side. He says in verse 1 that you've been convinced to become Christian through the preaching of God's word. So he says in verse 1, and you he has quickened, good King James word. He's made alive through word yet? What do you mean? I'm dead. I'm physically alive, that's right. But not spiritually. So God has made you spiritually alive while you're physically alive. Verses 4 and 5. God, rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he's quickened and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And that's the message we preach. To move people, to motivate people to come to God's way. But in the introduction on this walk, he just says, now don't forget what you once were and the way you once walked. So now the rest of these walks, or this word in the book of Ephesians, he tells us this is what this walk looks like. So now we get a picture. So number 2, verse 10. You can read the verses 8 through 10. I listed that in your notes. But I'm going to key on this word walk. So he says, we are his workmanship, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God did it, has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wasn't my idea to assemble for worship on Lord's Day. I didn't come up with this. Wasn't my idea to be baptized by immersion. Wasn't my idea to have my eyes open for opportunities for ministry and service. Wasn't my idea, to give God first place. So you wonder, what do these works look like that God's ordained? And the Bible answers the question. There was a scribe that came to Jesus and said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? What's the best that I can give? What should my walk in life look like? And Jesus gave the answer. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything. And there's a second commandment. Love your neighbor. You wonder, God determined that. God's idea on how we should live our life and walk. In Matthew 5, verse 16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. But it takes it away from us. And then give God the glory. See? You might want to say, when somebody says, thank you for helping out, but yeah, well, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Number 3. in chapter 4, verse 1. I don't know why I do that. I have a clock on that wall, but I just keep looking around. So that one. But number 4. Number 3, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, Paul says, a prisoner of the Lord. Oh, he's in a Roman jail, but now I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling or the vocation wherewith you were called. You were called. We said before, but anytime you enter into any relationship or organization, you assume an obligation to make it succeed, or else you contribute to its failure. Anything in life, whether it's a social club, a sports team, or Christianity, when you enter in, you assume that obligation to make it succeed. Otherwise, you are contributing to its failure. So Paul tells us what this vocation or this calling looks like. He says we're to live our life with lowliness, meaning humility, meekness, that's really a strength that's properly disciplined. We've tamed our ferociousness, meekness, long-suffering, it's a spirit that refuses to give up, patience, endurance, forbearing one another in love. We need to get along with all of our various personalities. Forbearing one another. Simply because we all don't think and do things alike, even in our preferences, but we need to forbear one another in love. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Right. So we know what our vocation, our calling looks like. Walk that way. Number 4, in chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. We covered a little bit of this in our Bible class on Sunday morning, the adult Bible class out in the auditorium. We're going to our quarterly, our booklet, Bible class booklet, going through the book of Ephesians, and this is the chapter we were on this morning. But it says, but Paul is saying, you see how what those other Gentiles are doing? These are Gentile Christians. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. See the way they're behaving? Don't do that. That's what you once were. That's the way you once walked. But now, God's made you alive. Walk this way. They are walking in the vanity of their mind. You know what that looks like? Someone that's walking in the vanity of their mind in relationship to Christianity is saying to themselves, or they might be saying it to me and to you, don't tell me how to worship God. That's the vanity of their mind. This is what I'm thinking, these other Gentiles are saying. I'm going to do it my way. The vanity of their mind. You know, they might be saying, I'm a pretty smart guy, intelligent guy. I have all of these credentials. I have this status, situation in life. I think I just do it my own way. I'll decide how to please God. The vanity of your mind instead of humility and coming to God and saying, God, here am I, send me. If you command, I'll obey. And I'll go. That's the attitude we're to have. Not the vanity of our own mind that says, you know, I'll make up my own way to be saved. That's the way the Gentiles are walking. In verse 18, he says their understanding is darkened. Vanity of their mind. See, knowledge is so essential in coming alive to God. Knowledge. Verse 19, it says these other Gentiles, they are past feeling. Past feeling. I look at that and I think that's one of the most saddest words in the Bible. For someone to reach a point that they are past feeling. I mean, I can't preach and exhort and encourage and persuade. I mean, I can't reach you. You're past feeling. Paul says that's what these Gentiles are doing. Because of the vanity of their mind and lack of understanding. They're insensitive to the truth. And because of that, they've given themselves over to lasciviousness and to work all uncleanness with greediness. Almost, well, I can't wait to do something horrible or wretched. I can't wait to involve myself in things that God doesn't like. Wow. They're in a hurry to do wrong. Wow. But he says in verse 20, but you haven't learned Christ that way. You changed. You've been made alive. You've been made alive. Number 5 is in chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love. We know what that looks like. And in case we don't, Paul's given the illustration. As Christ has also loved us, gave himself for us. So he's simply saying, you know, when you walk in love, you walk as God does, as Jesus did. Again, it's that attitude of, let me help you. Walk in love. Number 6, chapter 5, verse 8. Ye were sometimes darkness. That's right. But now, that illustration again. You know what you were before you became Christians and what you now are? Oh, the contrast. Ye were sometimes darkness. But now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Do that. Now ye are light. 1 John chapter 1, I gave reference for that. Chapters, verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him, meaning God and his Son, we walk in darkness, we lie. God, I'm on your side, but hell, I'm over here with the other Gentiles now. Oh, we lie. So the verse continues, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, there's the example of Jesus again. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the way I want to walk. I want to walk in the light. Number 7. I thought he would kind of gallop through these. Number 7, chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Ah, another interesting word. We don't use that word very often. Circumspectly. And he says, the verse continues, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Right. Circumspectly. It means to beware of your surroundings. It means to look out. Means that as you're looking out, avoid the danger areas. Don't go to them, but you avoid them. Look out. Keep your spiritual eyes open. See, the idea when you're walking through, maybe you're thinking, oh, this is not a best place to be. Could be like a construction zone or a job site. Boy, you got to be careful. You've got to put the hard hat on. But you're always walking. As you're walking, you're looking around because you want to walk in the safe areas. And that's on the spiritual life. It's the same way. As you're going through life, look around and walk in such a way that you are aware of the danger areas and where the safe ground is. Walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. So don't be foolish. So we close with this and just simply giving a lesson on this theme, one theme that goes through the book of Ephesians. That word walk. Paul also told the brethren in Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, he says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. Maybe one here this morning, a member of the New Testament church. From God's perspective, things are not okay spiritually. If you're not a Christian, things are not all right. And you need to see that so that you'll see your need to come to God and receive the salvation that only he can give. And so at the close of the lesson, we extend what we call an invitation to become a Christian or to obey the gospel. And everyone's subject to that. And so if you've heard the good news, the word of God, as Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, learn of me. And Jesus also said concerning them we need to, about believing on him. So John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want that. tell me the good news, and then believe it. And then, as Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3, repent of your sins, or we perish. And as Philip, priest of the Ethiopian, in Acts chapter 8, preached unto him Jesus, the Ethiopian stops his sermon, and he says, here's water, one hinders me from being baptized. He said, if you believe, you may. And he makes a statement or a confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip says, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And they both went down into the water and Philip baptized him. They both come up out of the water and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing. Because he's now obeyed the gospel message. In a case, salvation is always an occasion of joy. So that's the invitation we extend for one to say that gospel message. You're subject, if you're subject to it at the close of the song, just simply come to the front here and have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll just ask you a question, what's on your mind? And your response is, Brian, I want to become a Christian, I want to be baptized. And we can accomplish that right now. Whosoever will may come. Want to pray them for strength or encouragement? We can do that. Let's stand together because the song is in the selected.